This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you. I'll tell you what, a lot is happening in Washington, although it seems like I say that every single time. That's the big setup. So here's one of the big questions being talked about today, and Lori Lewis is with us in our virtual green room from Talk Media News. And this is what's going on in Niger and what's going to be the actual transition and how the military is going to go from frontline type wars to going into that advisory capacity, which we've seen that the United States has fallen into before in other places in the world, and now it's happening here. Hey, Lori, so what is the scoop on that, and what's that transition maybe going to look like?
So that transition is very much already underway. If you look at conflicts that the military is engaged in Iraq, in Syria, this right ambush in Niger, what you see is a military that isn't fighting frontline combat, you know, like hunting down the enemy, shooting people like during the invasion of Iraq or Afghanistan. What you're instead seeing is a military that brings the unique technological and like transportation and planning assets of the U.S. military, along with like equipment, training and so forth, to local governments who then employ those assets to do their own frontline fighting and also their own anti-terror and like internal policing operations. So this is kind of what you saw in Niger. This group of troops was going out to meet with, this is what was heard from the military at least, was this group of 12 troops was going out to meet with some like some leaders in a community to have a conversation. They'd done similar missions some 30 times before within the last 6 months, and then they were ambushed. So something changed, but this is the sort of thing that you see.
Yeah, absolutely. The uncertainty, I think, especially there in this ambush case, is there, obviously. And the FBI is joining in on that investigation, too, as you just said there. I mean, how does this happen? And the sadness of this, of course, is, the four soldiers that were killed, and this was, what, just a couple of weeks ago. They're trying to put together sort of that timeline, from what I understand, of the Pentagon. There's a lot of people criticizing the Pentagon and the White House because they're not being very transparent about that, right?
Yeah, that's right. They've gotten a lot of pushback for lack of transparency, not only from the public, but from lawmakers on the Hill. John McCain said today, he's the top dog on the Senate Armed Services Committee, that he might subpoena the administration to find out what's going on. But the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, has continuously been this way when it comes to military operations. He's asked, I mean, this one has been, this is 2 weeks, right, since. And this operation and the loss of these four soldiers, the injury of two others, and just kind of the circumstances about this case make it unique such that the military is tracking it, you know, more, or excuse me, the media is tracking it more. 2 weeks after a soldier died somewhere else, the media might not be following it as much. This story is different. But to circle back, though, Jim Mattis, he always declines to say anything until he says the investigation is complete. So that's what we're seeing again here, at least from the Defense Department, is tight lips until they have what they consider to be factual information. And, you know, whether that's like them actually waiting until they have factual information and how much they release to the public, you know, that's yet to be seen, or if that's, you know, a military excuse for not releasing important information potentially to the public.
Yeah, there you go. Well said. And then we move from that to what's happening with the CIA director, who made some statements finally, because of course it's Russia, about the interference in the 2016 election. What did the CIA director say?
Yeah, so he was speaking today at an event, and he said that the intelligence community's assessment is that the Russian meddling that took place did not affect the outcome of the election. So this was at a security conference here in Washington, D.C. And what's different here is that the CIA, a public affairs spokesman, later kind of walked back and said that Pompeo didn't intend to say this. But the important thing being said, though, When the intelligence community did this assessment of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, that's not something that they even looked at, whether Russian meddling actually had an effect. The CIA said that's not their job to analyze the effect that it may have had. They're saying we do recognize that there was meddling, and we do have an idea of what the meddling or what purpose the meddling may have been intended to serve. So it's Pompeo potentially, you know, in this statement, even though the CIA later walked it back, adding some information to this assessment, which is interesting.
Yeah, to say the least, no kidding. All right, let's leap ahead because, we, you know, time will tick away on us. And, of course, it's always interesting when you talk about John Kelly at the White House. And there was a clip that we have. I want people to listen to this clip, and then we'll come back and talk about it. It's crazy. I just listened to it a couple minutes ago, and I'm going to let everyone hear it first, and then we're going to talk about it. Roll that footage.
Stunned when I came to work yesterday morning and brokenhearted at what I saw a member of Congress doing. A member of Congress who listened in on a phone call from the President of the United States to a young wife, and in his way tried to express that opinion. He's a brave man, a fallen hero. He knew what he was getting himself into because he enlisted. There's no reason to enlist. He enlisted. And he was where he wanted to be, exactly where he wanted to be, with exactly the people he wanted to be with when his life was taken. That was the message. That was the message that was transmitted. It stuns me that a member of Congress would have listened in on that conversation. Absolutely stuns me. And I thought, at least that was sacred. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of things were sacred in our country. Women were sacred and looked upon with great honor. That's obviously not the case anymore, as we see from recent cases. Life, the dignity of life, was sacred. That's gone. Religion, that seems to be gone as well. Gold Star families, I think that left in the convention over the summer. But I just thought the selfless devotion that brings a man or woman to die on the battlefield, I just thought that that might be sacred.
All right, and so he's talking about Congresswoman Federica Wilson from Florida, who he was talking about, he said was disrespectful in his with the condolence call to the family of Sergeant David Johnson, who was killed during that ambush that we spoke about at the top. And it was very rare to see this, right? Because he was pretty emotional, and you heard what he had to say there. Everybody heard that. Is that the way it sounded to you from the White House?
So, okay, I wasn't at the White House today. I did watch the press conference. So I
you watched it, yeah.
Yeah, I can't speak from the White House, but I can say, though, that, yeah, John Kelly expressed that he was shocked that Wilson was part of the conversation. But something to note here is that Wilson's connection to this family actually goes back at least one generation. She was principal at the school that the slain soldiers Johnson's father attended, and Johnson actually was an alumni of a program, a mentoring program that Wilson started for youth. So they had actually a personal relationship. And beyond that, I've heard criticism that just because she listened in, that doesn't make the conversation any less sacred.
Yeah. There you go. Else? Hey, we're out of time. We're out of time. Sorry about that. We're out of time. But I get what you're saying about the conversation, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on the flip side. Lori Lewis, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
The rest of this conversation about John Kelly, the White House chief of staff, who was really upset and talked about the Democratic congresswoman. He accused her of what he called a sacred presidential effort to console a grieving loved one of a slain soldier. Kelly was pretty emotional, apparently, at the White House in the briefing room. His own son was killed in Afghanistan in 2010. So speaking kind of slowly and forcefully, he said he was brokenhearted that Wilson overheard the conversation and used it to attack the president. And said he was stunned when he came to work and at what he saw a member of Congress doing. And Trump, you know, because Trump always gets criticized that he doesn't show enough empathy to grieving people. And this was the case where he was talking to the family of the slain, you know, soldier. And so that's, again, where that all went. Kelly was not aware that Trump was going to reveal anything he said about the time after his son's death. And Kelly said that when Trump took office, he urged the president not to make those family calls, saying, sir, there's nothing you can do to lighten the burden of these families. But when Trump said he wanted to do so, Kelly revealed to him what General Joe Dunford, who, of course, is now the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told him when Kelly was killed, when Robert Kelly was killed. Kelly called, that Dunford called, said his son was doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was killed. He knew what he was getting into. He knew what the possibilities were because we're at war. And Kelly said that Dunford told him when he died, he was surrounded by the best men on earth, his friends. That's what the president tried to say to the four families the other day. And, of course, the Defense Department is investigating the details of that October 4th ambush that killed four American soldiers. It was terrible. Islamic militants on motorcycles brought rocket-propelled grenades and heavy machine guns, killing the four and wounding others after basically shattering the windows of these unarmored trucks. It happened in a remote corner of Niger where Americans and local counterparts were meeting with community leaders. So they were really, they were really exposed. And it's very, very sad. Incredibly, incredibly sad. No doubt about that. I mean, seeing those coffins and hearing the story, rough for anyone, I think, to see. And you realize the sacrifice. And, of course, it's something that, you know, in the back of your head. But then when you see it front and center, it hits home, I think, just even a little bit more. And how about this? I talked about what was going to happen in Florida. Remember, they had all these law enforcement types that were lining up, hundreds of protesters shouting down. It turned out the white supremacist leader, Richard Spencer, at the university in Florida, forcing him to leave the stage without even delivering a speech. Only about 30 supporters of the white nationalists made it into the University of Florida's auditorium at Gainesville. They were massively outnumbered by protesters who chanted, "No more Spencer." They were screaming at the top of their lungs. Spencer is, if you don't know him, a leader of the so-called alt-right movement that includes white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and supporters of the Ku Klux Klan. And so there was a lot of conversation about what would happen there. The public decided they weren't gonna stand for it. So they outnumbered the people that were there to support him, and they couldn't even get through. That's how bad it was. Just to give you a sense of it, it was that, you know, it was that bad. Just that bad. In the meantime, there's a bunch of what I call popcorn shots from Washington, D.C., because it wasn't just about the John Kelly press conference blasting the congresswoman who attacked Trump doing the condolence calls. It wasn't just about that. There was so much more, including the fact that you've got still more of this whole Russia hangover that's left. And then you've got the CIA director, and as I mentioned this a little bit, denying that Russia affected the presidential election. So just jumping into it, Mike Pompeo flatly saying that Russian interference in the presidential election had, you know, didn't have an effect on the outcome of the campaign. He reminded an audience where he was speaking at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies in Washington, D.C., that the U.S. intelligence community never concluded Moscow's mischief changed a single vote. The intelligence community's assessment is that Russian meddling that took place did not affect the outcome of the election. So Democrats have been accusing President Trump of colluding with Putin to swing the election against Hillary Clinton. Those charges spurred congressional investigations and the appointment of an independent prosecutor to look into any illegal contacts between Trump aides and Moscow. So that's pretty much where we stand on that. And that obviously is still a very big story. Now, what's also interesting is the Harvey Weinstein conversation has opened up in Washington. So police in L.A. are launching an investigation of Weinstein's involvement in a possible sexual assault in 2013. They interviewed a victim who recently reported she was sexually assaulted by Weinstein. He said he could not answer any questions about where it took place or when the woman was interviewed. So she's 38, Italian actress. She wasn't named in the story, but apparently they're saying that he raped her after bullying his way into her hotel room, which, of course, this is just more of the lurid, terrible things that we're hearing about this man. And if it actually leads to, though, something that could lead to a criminal case, that's a whole, you know, that boy, that's a whole different, thing. I mean, even Oscar-winning actress Lupita Luango talked about misconduct by Weinstein toward her. And a lot of the incidents happened at hotels in Beverly Hills, which they don't have any kind of an open investigation into him, but apparently there's was all kinds of, you know, crazy shenanigans happening behind the scenes. And I think we're just seeing the tip of this. I think there's going to be, you know, so much more that's probably going to come. I think that's going to come out. That may be, I don't know if it's, I don't know how much more shocking you can get. I mean, it's a story after story of crass, ridiculous, scumbag things that this guy did. And any man can look at this and say the same thing. Look, it's an abuse of power. So in Washington, as I said, these are popcorn shots. This is part of the conversation. It is part of the whole thing about the roles. And John Kelly even alluded to it when he talked about how women were treated before and how women are treated now and how the society is. He just kind of brushed over that. And that's a reference, obviously, I think, to what the whole Weinstein thing is about. And now the whole Me Too movement, too, where you're seeing the hashtags Me Too, Me Too. And not just women, but men are chiming in and saying certain things happen to them as well. Here at the top two, we got to give a shout out to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And why do we do that? Because they get their first trip to the World Series in a very long time. You got to think about 1988. So the Dodgers in Chicago, this time of year when they were knocked out of the playoffs, don't have to say that this time around. For the first time in 29 years, they're going to the World Series. They got the pennant Thursday night on the same field where they lost the National League Championship Series, clobbering the Mets 11-1 and winning the series 4-1. Just domination. The Cubs scored 9 runs all series. And Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, said, "We're the better team." He said that before the game. We know it. They know it. A year ago, it was different. They were the better team. So now how far can the Dodgers go, and who are they going to play? Because that's the other part of the story. Is it going to be the Astros, or is it going to be the New York Yankees? And that series has been a mystery. A lot of back and forth. I mean, a ton of back and forth. And by the way, Thursday night football, a stunning last-minute touchdown. Raiders beat the Chiefs 31-30. Stay with us. We're going to London next to talk about Joni Mitchell here on ATN.
Saki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Barney Hoskins, he is the guy who pulled together what I think is just a piece of brilliance, Joni the Anthology. It is a compilation of writings on Joni Mitchell, basically charting every major moment of her extraordinary career, without a doubt. Think of it, 9 Grammys, 10 million albums sold. The lyrics, my 14-year-old nephew knows who Joni Mitchell is, and that certainly says something. Hoskins is the co-founder and editorial director of the online rock journalism library, Rock's Back Pages, and the author of several books, 40 years as a music writer, for goodness sake, and a rock historian. He knows it, so we're glad to have him across the pond join us here on this show. Hey, Barney, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
In pulling this together and in understanding Joni Mitchell, what kind of an effect did she have on music?
I think she had an enormous effect in that she was, you know, one hates to talk in purely gender terms because she so transcends that, and why should we be talking about it in those terms? But nonetheless, she was an incredibly important female figure. She was someone who emerged from folk music to write songs that were more personal, really, I think, than anyone, any woman, any man had written before. It was a new kind of voice. She did things with folk that no one had done before, and she took folk into a new area of singer-songwriting, confessional singer-songwriting, and eventually started making albums that really left folk way behind. I mean, I think just as a composer, you know, musically, her chords, her modulations, her arrangements, even if she wasn't one of the greatest lyricists that we've ever had, she would still be extraordinary. You listen to the music on Court and Spark. It's so sophisticated. It's such an extraordinary kind of mixture of jazz and rock. I don't think she's ever done anything better than that.
Yeah, and boy, I so agree with you. And in terms of, I guess, the way so many of us think now, especially, it used to be really thinking a lot about albums and what the backside, what was the B-side. But if there are younger people listening, and I mentioned my nephew did know who she was and thought she was really cool and is getting into her music, and again, I was impressed that he knew and paid attention.
Yeah.
But is there one song that just transcended her that people think of when they think of Joni Mitchell?
Well, it depends. If you want something that's sort of, you know, anthemic, and something that you'd kind of hum along to on the radio, I guess it would be something like Big Yellow Taxi, you know, which had those sort of ecological concerns, you know, way before many people were singing about that. But if you want to go more personal with Joni, then you're going to think of something from the Blue album. That's really the totemic album everyone returns to. It's just sort of Joni kind of all alone singing these wounded, very introspective songs. So, you know, something like A Case of You, you know, is a song that many people would say is like her greatest song. There's so many, you know, She didn't have a huge number of hits, but she's written, you know, 50 or 60 of the greatest songs ever written. Help Me, I Think I'm Falling. I mean, there's things you'll still hear on radio, you'll hear it on classic rock radio, and I couldn't narrow everything down to one song. I have to say, it's not like you think of, you know, Elvis and you think of you know, a Jailhouse Rock or something, or the Stones and Satisfaction. You know, her oeuvre is so diverse and eclectic.
Yeah, there you go. When you think of conversations with Joni Mitchell, what is it about Joni Mitchell that people maybe didn't know?
Well, she's a mysterious figure in many ways. She's kind of enigmatic. She's extraordinarily bright and interesting person to talk to. I mean, I've only had the one opportunity to interview her, but it was quite a long time that I had with her, and she was in a good mood, and it was just really interesting talking to her about songwriting, about politics, about her painting, about Canada, so many aspects of her life. I mean, she's a giantess, really. She really is up there with, you know, anyone you care to mention, whether it's Dylan or Paul Simon or, you know, whoever the hell it might be. She's up there with the big boys. Again, you know, I talk in gender terms that are so irrelevant, but because the history of rock and roll popular music is so slanted towards males, and she would say that herself. She has grievances about not being accorded the same respect as a Bob Dylan purely because she's a woman. And her work in musically is more sophisticated, I think, richer and more sophisticated than anything Dylan ever did. As a lyricist, well, you'd say they're probably on a par. But she's definitely, she's as talented and brilliant a figure as Dylan or anybody else, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you talked about that, mentioning your time with her and how she feels about politics. There's a great quote from her from, you know, in the 60s, actually, where she said, it's good, and you know this, it's good to be exposed to politics and what's going down here, meaning the U.S., but it does damage to me. Too much of it can cripple me. And if I really let myself think about it, the violence, the sickness, all of it, I'd flip out.
Well, yes, and she has always addressed the things that are going on in the culture, that are going on politically. She's never flinched from doing that. You know, I think She's one of the great commentators, if you like. I mean, one of the reasons to pull together this anthology of interviews and also reviews and commentary on Joni was just, you know, even if you didn't listen to her music, it's fascinating to read about her life, her opinions, her views. She sees things in such a unique and original way. And she's not, you know, she's someone who's always kind of, kept, fame at arm's length. You know, I think she's had a complicated relationship with her own fame. She is the sort of high priestess of singer-songwriters in many ways. And I think that fame and the expectations on her and the way she's been written about, the way she was objectified as a woman, all of these things have meant that she's kind of shied away and at times been quite hostile towards, you know, show business, towards entertainment, towards the music industry. And, you know, she's a somewhat lonely figure at this late stage in her life. She's somewhat removed from it and disdainful as well of a lot of it, bless her.
What was it?
You know, David Crosby, sorry to interrupt, you know, David Crosby famously, one of the famous quotes about Jane and Joni, and he said this in the late 60s, she's as humble as Mussolini.
That's brilliant. That sums it up right there. I love that. For you, in pulling this all together, what was it like? That's kind of a daunting project, even for someone with your background.
Yeah, well, you know, at Rock's Back Pages, we have hundreds of writers, and many of them have written about Joni. So it was easier to pull this book together than it would otherwise have been. I think we're able to access some of the greatest writing on Joni, and you know, some of the most perceptive reviews of her greatest albums. I think there's reviews of all her albums included in this book. So it really is more a kind of case of what to put in and what to leave out. You know, there are plenty of very good pieces about Joni that might have fetched up in this book. But we hope, I mean, when I did my final reread, I did really feel like it almost served as a kind of biography. I felt like I was going with her hand in hand through her life from her very early folk days in Toronto, in fact from her childhood really, right through to the last things she recorded. You sort of feel that you're on a journey with this woman through her life as you read through the pieces. I think you really see the way she evolved as a talent, as a woman, as a human being.
Do you think we're ever going to see another Joni Mitchell?
I think her music, her style, her writing, her chords are all so distinctive. I don't think anyone who tries to imitate Joni for a start just fails straight away. You're never going to capture what she does. Even the best pastiche in the world is not going to be able to replicate what Joni does. I'm sure there have been many extraordinary songwriters. I mean, so many female singer-songwriters in particular, you know, look to her as the ultimate kind of icon, and you understand why. But, of course, there have been many other brilliant ones from sort of, you know, Nina Simone to PJ Harvey to Feist to Joanna Newsom. I mean, I happen to think that women have, you know, in recent years have made the most interesting music that falls outside of, I mean, some of the very best chart pop music, but I tend to find that a lot of women are just doing more adventurous things with the form, and most of them would probably say it was because they were inspired by people like Joni, like Laura Nero, like Kate Bush, you know, and so on. So I think, you know, again, I hate keep coming back to gender stuff, but I think women just have a different, more interesting slant on songwriting. They just do more interesting things with it. Men tend to be rather on the nose with their writing.
Wow, perfect place to end this. Barney Hoskins, thanks so much for joining us. Joni the Anthology, pick it up today. It's fantastic. I read it cover to cover. Thanks, Barney.
Thank you so much.
I am on a lonely road and I am trapped. How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenics commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenics really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenics.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenics, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenics. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Climb in the car here for this final segment for this hour of America Tonight and take you to the movies. You've probably seen this advertised a lot. Michael Fassbender is the star of this one, and it has to do with a snowman. In fact, the name of it is The Snowman. Here's a snippet.
Vanished last night. We just found the body.
Prince.
And the head is missing. He calls himself the Snowman Killer. He's completely insane.
I'm thinking that he's going after women that he disapproves of.
The only thing we know for sure is that he's playing games with us.
We need a way to lure him out.
what we're dealing with. He's been watching us the whole time. Building snowmen, cutting things up into little pieces. He's taunting us. If we don't find him, this is never going to stop.
Another missing woman.
There's something we're not seeing.
What matters most is that we celebrate the way this has brought us together.
Anyone can see that he's trying to hide something.
You can't force the pieces to fit.
You could have saved them.
No.
Gave you all the clues.
All right, so the snowman, some are calling it Snow Noir. It is about the book. There is a book called Snowman, and some say it is pretty much right down the line faithful to what the book is, which would mean it would probably unfurl pretty slowly. And we're talking about a crime squad's lead detective investigating the disappearance of a victim of the first snow of winter, and there is this serial killer they think will be active again. And in the movie, there are a lot of well-known people. Michael Fassbender, J.K. Simmons is in it. Chloe Svengali, I think is how you say her name, is in it. And again, it is a really interesting kind of scary movie, I guess. And the snowman has intrigued a few, let's put it that way. But I think it's probably one of those that's better, I think, left streaming, although if it's a Halloween thrill you're looking for, then you won't go and, you know, you won't get to see it on Halloween. All right, this is something completely different from The Scary Snowman. It's scary in a different way, but it's called Only the Brave, and here's some of that.
I work this blaze near Montana. In the blink of an eye, there's fire everywhere. And then charging out of these flames comes this bear on fire. It was the most beautiful and terrible thing I've ever seen.
I heard you guys had some slots available.
You lost. We got one slot open. You know what we're training for?
Hot shots get to engage the fire directly.
The SEAL Team 6 of firefighters.
If you give me a chance, I won't let you down.
Sooner or later, fire's going to come knocking in our hometown. We've been training for over 4 years. We've got all our hours, all our qualifications. But until we're certified hot shots, my crew won't even be able to set foot on the line.
I told you it wouldn't be easy.
You want to talk about it? Or you want to do your John Wayne thing?
It's not easy sharing a man with a fire.
Take this stinker.
He's not a stinker.
Y'all to breathe in this beautiful vista, because you're never going to be able to look out into the wilds and see that pure beauty again. This ain't the greatest job in the world. I don't know what is.
What is that?
Fire's threatening homes and people's lives. I'm on Granite Mountain.
There it is. Your hot shots.
I just had a daughter, and I just really want to give her what I never had.
Fire gets past our line, it goes to our town.
Bruno, we're seconds away. It's gonna feel like the end of the world. As long as you can breathe, you can survive.
She's barely seen me for the past 2 months.
I'm sorry.
We're gonna take the fire head on and save our town.
Come on! Y'all are heroes.
No one could be prouder of his boys than I am of you guys.
Yeah, so, you know, you think of this firefighting, and we certainly have seen this lately on the line in Northern California. A lot of famous people in this. Jeff Bridges, I mean, well-known actors. Jeff Bridges, Annie McDowell, Taylor Kitsch, Miles Teller, Josh Brolin, and it's about that. It's based on a crew of firemen from an elite crew from Prescott, Arizona, who battled wild fire in Arizona in June of 2013 that claimed the lives of 19 of them. It's a very sad story. I remember that. And PG-13, 2 hours, 14 minutes. I think a lot of people will actually go and see this, especially because of the connection to, again, what's happened to just way too many people when it comes to firefighting. All right, Geostorm is getting a lot of play on the tube. What is Geostorm? Here it is.
Senate committee will now hear from Jacob Lawson, Climate ISS chief coordinator. May the record reflect that he was nearly 1 hour late.
Yeah, sorry about that. I literally had to fly in from outer space.
Thanks to a system of satellites, natural disasters have become a thing of the past. We can control our weather.
Mr. President, one of our thermospheric satellites malfunctioned over Afghanistan.
So your proposal is what?
We shut down all satellites.
I don't need to remind all of you how many people died from catastrophic climate conditions.
Make sure there's no further incidents.
Are you going back up space?
I'm coming back. I promise.
Have a safe trip, sir. Just don't touch anything.
Main engine stop.
This is Mr. Jake Lawson.
Me? Jake Lawson?
You look much older than I would have thought.
I mean, you look good. Am I getting fired? My access has been blocked.
So satellite has a bad con, that happens.
Not me, satellite. All of them.
This wasn't a malfunction. It was intentional.
There's potential for catastrophic weather events on a global scale. A geostorm. We have to shut the system down.
The only one who has the kill codes is the president.
I need your help.
You're soliciting a Secret Service agent? Seriously? We're kidnapping the president in a self-driving cab.
Jake, if you can't stop it, no one can.
Oh, yeah, I kidnapped the president. I've stolen state secrets.
Yeah, anything I'm forgetting, honey?
Honey.
Hold on.
Barrier.
There you go. Geostorm. So, Geostorm. Interesting. Satellites designed to prevent natural disasters begin to fail, threaten to create a worldwide geostorm that could wipe everything out. It's going to find a little bit of an audience, I think. PG-13, 1 hour, 49 minutes, action, adventure, sci-fi. If you go and see a movie, remember, send me a cheap movie review at americatonight.net. Thank you so much for listening to this hour of ATN.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.